Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The last few days in Afghanistan have been the most violent since last August. Just today, a roadside bomb reportedly killed 9 people on a bus in the eastern part of the country. Over the weekend, battles in the same region between U.S. forces and insurgents resulted in at least 1 American military fatality. Reports of 11 Afghan children killed in a NATO airstrike. And in southern Afghanistan, 5 American officials or military personnel are dead, including a 25-year-old diplomat, Anne Smedighoff, killed as she was delivering books to school children. She's a 3-year veteran of the State Department, killed in an attack at a local school in the Zabul province of Afghanistan. Secretary of State John Kerry, in memorializing Smedighoff, called her spirit and idealism a symbol of America's intentions to bring peace and democracy to Afghanistan. These are challenging days for Afghanistan. Is it closer to democracy in any measurable way? The good news and progress may not be in the casualty counts, according to Afghans who are committed to the future and have no choice but to push forward as the U.S. departs the country. Saad Mohseni is director of the Mobi Group, the largest media organization in Afghanistan. He says the next few years will be critical, but there are positive signs.
Well, for us, I mean, I think if we can keep the momentum, that's going to be the key. And that's why we have some real challenges in the next 12 months in terms of the political and military transition. The country is very young. 60% of the population is under the age of 20. Median age of 17. Afghanistan has become urbanized like no other country. Something like 50% of the population now resides in urban centers. The presence of women in the workforce, number of girls at schools, like 3 million compared to nothing in 2001. People have access to mobile phones. We've gone from 6,000 phones in 2001 to 20 million mobile phones. So people have access to internet. Something like 20-25% of the population in Kabul uses the internet. And 60% of the population watches television in a country that had no television during the time of the Taliban. So we've seen a huge transformation. And people talk about the Taliban. The Taliban's approval rating has never exceeded 10% because people have experienced the Taliban. It's not like this idea that they've presented and they haven't been tried. They've been tried. They were very unpopular. They were essentially kicked out. And they don't really have a base. So for us, the key thing is to survive this political transition, the elections. And, I think we're strong enough. We have enough momentum to keep on going.
You know, the Soviet invasion was an experience for Afghans that was this oppressive kind of lid on the entire society. The people sort of hunkered down and waited to end. The Taliban, something of the same. But you're describing the sort of end game here for the American invasion and American experience in Afghanistan as something where media has really allowed people to have more of a voice in their own future, regardless of the political chaos. How has media changed the way in which people have tried to work around the violence in Afghanistan? It's a place that's been at war one way or another for more than 30 years.
Yeah. Well, I think media has always been very important. Even during the Soviet times, people listened to the BBC and the VOA in terms of getting information, as to what was happening around the country. So people have sort of been connected to the outside world, and information has been very important.
But now it's a two-way street.
It is a
three-way or 12-way.
Exactly. I mean, media basically has allowed – I mean, media has facilitated social change in Afghanistan in more ways than one. When we launched our first venture, which was a radio station just like this, we would have a male and a female DJ just interacting like normal people. And the initial reaction was people almost protesting outside our radio station because to them it was unacceptable to have a man and a woman in a studio interacting. In a very innocent manner. But it was amazing that within a few weeks it became the acceptable format. And that's how media has facilitated social change in the country. But of course it informs, it entertains, and in a place where, corruption is a major issue, people use the media in terms of airing their grievances or or basically exposing corrupt officials. So it's played a very important role for the country, I believe.
You've described an amazing social transformation in Afghanistan. 50% of the population has moved into urban areas, really, since the U.S. invasion. What has that done to cities like Kabul and Kandahar and Jalalabad?
Well, I mean, there are two ways of looking at it. Obviously, we have a city that was designed for 300,000 people, Kabul, for example, now has a population of 5 million plus. So it's congestion and lack of electricity and all of those things. Those are the bad things. The positive things are that people move into cities, they become urbanized, they allow their women to go to work, girls go to school. Tribal affiliations go out the window. People reside next to each other regardless of what their ethnicity is. So it actually adds to the sophistication of a population. And I think that, to me, is a very important development.
You're obviously very educated. It's probably an insult to say westernized, but certainly someone who's very familiar with the world outside of Afghanistan. And you say yet this urbanization means that tribal affiliations go out the window. Is that maybe out the window, really?
Well, I think that people become you deal with normal things. I mean, you have to put bread on the table. You have to send your kids to school. You have to get along with your neighbor. I think, of course, these things always will exist in any country, including the U.S. But they become less relevant, I should say. They will always be relevant in every country, but these issues have become a lot less relevant. When I was a kid at school in Kabul, I mean, I rarely asked my friends as to what their ethnicity was. So we're going back to the way it was maybe in the mid to late 70s.
What would you make of the U.S. experience in Afghanistan from your perspective?
The irony is that international troops remain popular. I mean, something like 60% of the population still supports the presence of international troops. So I think with the Americans and their presence in the country has allowed the country, it's given us some breathing space to develop. A lot of the changes that we're seeing in the country have not been imposed by the international community. You cannot force people to change. But it has given us that breathing space. So, of course, it's been more positive than negative. But if you calculate the cost, could we have been more efficient? Maybe we could have. But I think if you, in one sentence, it's been more positive than negative.
And what's the legacy of someone like Hamid Karzai? Is he a transitional figure, like someone like Najibullah or characters who were associated with conflicts in the past? Is he a Nixonian figure filled with scandals that will dog him for the rest of his life? Or is he really something of a George Washington?
I think more of a George Washington. I mean, we've been a huge critic of his over the years, but I think that people will look back and during his tenure, we sort of, built a lot of bridges. He was very accommodating, almost too inclusive. He hasn't executed too many people. I mean,
he hasn't executed too many people.
I mean, this is
spoken like an Afghan.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, but the thing is that this is one of the challenges we have as someone like Hamid Karzai is that people say, why isn't he executing more criminals? And he's very mindful of his legacy, and I think he'd be judged, as the man who is the bridge builder for the country, as flawed as he is.
Saad Mohsini, director of the Mobi Media Group, the largest media organization in Afghanistan with radio and television channels and plenty of internet opportunities as well. Saad, thanks so much.
Thank you.